Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Michelle Casto, also known as Bright Michelle. She is a renowned life and business coach, an advocate for everyday enlightenment and full soul expression. Throughout her 20-year career, she has published over 30 life empowerment and career development books. And we will be discussing her new one called The Destiny Discovery, Find Your Soul's Path to Success. So welcome to the program, Michelle.
Thank you, Mike. It's always a pleasure to talk about my favorite topic, which is helping people find their purpose and destiny in life. So I'm glad to be here.
Great. Yes, I'm sure we're going to have a good time discussing your book. Having read part of it and being aware of what the content is of the different chapters, I'm sure we're on a very similar path of understanding here. Now, I'd like to start off by mentioning that I understand that as a child, you felt called to understand the deeper meaning of life. Now, tell us how that affected you as a child, and how long did it take you to find out the meaning?
Yeah, well, it's like layers of meaning. However, as a young girl, I was very intelligent, intuitive, and precocious, and I think very in tune with nature and animals, and just in general the earth. And I always felt a little different than other people. And I do believe now that I am an indigo, or someone who comes in spiritually attuned and knowing some things. However, that was not cultivated growing up, and so I really had to discover things on my own. I was also an only child, so I spent a lot of time sort of in books and in my head and just, like I said, out in nature. And I just was always asking big questions and thinking big thoughts. And as I went along in my journey, a few things happened to sort of caused me to look within. One of those events was when my parents were divorced, and that sort of sent me in a numerous years of searching for understanding and what the meaning of life was about. And one thing that's sort of interesting is I remember people often calling me weird. And, you know, when you're 13 years old, that doesn't usually feel very good because you don't want to be weird. You want to belong, you know, you want to fit in. And on one level, I did because I was very popular and very smart things. But on another level, I did feel different. And lo and behold, about a couple years ago, I found out that the original meaning of the word weird is someone who knows her path and her destiny in life. So now I embrace that and see that as a positive. However, growing up, that wasn't what I wanted to feel. But anyways, that's just a little bit about, you know, how I started on the journey, and it just deepened as I became a teenager and a young adult, and continued on the path from there.
Right. Now, obviously, with your interest, it has led to the work that you have been doing over the last 20 years. Did you always know that you would go this far in it? I mean, to the extent that you would become effectively a teacher and, if you like, specialize in this particular aspect of a people's growth?
You know, no, I did not think that. Interestingly enough, I am a first-generation college student, and so I was really never encouraged to go to college or to learn. It was my expectations, or the cards that fate had handed me, would have led me to, had I defaulted into my programming, a pretty mediocre, uninspired life. However, there was something in me that I will call it the soul, the spirit, that knew that I was born for something great, that despite what anybody around me, including my own parents, might say, that I was here to do something. I had a message, if you will. And, you know, it's almost despite my programming and lack of encouragement that kind of, you know, in a way, when people tell me no, I was like, I'm going to go do it anyway. And So no, I never imagined that. My at the time when I graduated with my master's degree, that was a huge undertaking. As I said, I was a first generation college student, so to get a master's was a pretty big deal. But I really just had plans initially in my 20s just to work at a university. And that's where I started my professional career. Was I was a career counselor for university students. And, you know, as fate would have it, I didn't really know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And so I figured that would be a good way to figure that out. And so that's sort of how that got me headed in this direction of helping others find their path. And then it just accelerated very quickly from there. So the short answer is no, I didn't know that. And there was something within me that really compelled me to dig deeper and to go beyond what people expected me to be able to do.
Now, to do what you do, you obviously have found out quite a lot. Would you consider that the most important thing for people to get started on this search for their destiny or whatever is to understand the purpose of life?
Yeah, and you know, and to make it simple for everyone, because purpose and destiny are two of those really big words that can, you know, be intimidating. So I like to keep it simple at first. So let's just say that everyone's purpose is to be authentically happy and to express their true self. That's what we're all here for. Now, how we do that is individually chosen and decided upon us, and that's part of the destiny discovery process is, you know, how are you going to choose to live your life and what changes and challenges will you use as stepping stones to get there and to create that life? So I think the first thing is that people need to understand themselves first and foremost, because accurate self-knowledge is key in order to really make choices that are aligned with your deeper self. Because if you're not careful, many people live lives by default and they fall into relationships, career paths, living situations. They just fall into whatever crosses their path versus saying, well, what do I really want? And then going and creating that. And then also in terms of careers, I've seen a lot of people who make career decisions because their family tells them, well, you should go into information technology because there's a lot of jobs there, or, you know, nursing or what have you. And they don't even know themselves. And they make these choices and these major decisions without the self-knowledge of who they are and what they want. And that's very, very important to the whole process of successful living.
Right. Now, I know you believe, and indeed I do, that we have a higher self that is connected to the divine. So presumably you are going to agree that we are immortal. So would you also say that the purpose of life is to raise our level of consciousness?
Yes, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, we are here to have an experience. The higher purpose is to, you know, learn our soul's lessons, to expand our consciousness. We're all here to learn the universal purpose of love and how to be more loving and compassionate. And then individually, we get to express that love in our relationships and the work that we choose to do, which really brings it down into more of a personal humanity purpose, if you will. But we are absolutely here to know ourselves beyond the physical and beyond what we can see, and to know that we are part of the divine and part of the divine plan.
Right. Now, if you have people that are becoming curious as to the purpose of life, how do you get them onto the track to actually accept that they aren't their physical body, that they have a higher self, and that they should be working towards some spiritual realization? I mean, isn't it difficult to get people just to change track?
If I could figure that one out, I would be a million-dollar person. Yes, I could write a book about it. Yeah, that's the ultimate question, isn't it, Michael? It's like, how do we get people to want insight? How do we get them to want to know themselves? And how do we get them to know themselves so deeply that they live their lives through their inspiration? So that's the marketing challenge that I have. So basically what I found is that people have to come to me ready and willing. Most often what happens with all of us humans is we tend to learn the hard way and through the school of hard knocks. And so what will happen for most people is they'll have an awakening experience, and that will come in the form of what I call a disorienting event. It could be a health or wealth challenge, a divorce, an accident. And so that causes them to ask different questions. Like, so what they thought they were so certain of before the event happened, they start to open to new possibilities and new questions. And then that's when you can kind of catch people in a place of like, okay, well, now you're open and curious about what else is possible. Then we can kind of go down the track of looking at, you know, another possibility for living life. You know, but until the awakening, that really is pretty much hard to get past people's the trance that they're in. And actually, in the book, The Destiny Discovery, the six stages that are talked about in the book, the awakening is the first stage. And in many ways, the awakening is the most important stage, because if you don't have the awakening, then you'll never go on the journey. And so, you know, luckily, many people all around the world now are starting to have those awakenings because the certainty and the life they've been living looks to be falling away. But what I will say is that it's a realignment process. You know, so things have to move out that are no longer aligned with your higher self to make room for your purpose. And that is why I always say that change propels purpose, because typically you're not going to be living your purpose and your destiny in your comfort zone. It's not there. You have to kind of get knocked out of that a bit to go on the hero's journey to find what you're looking for. And that's why most people don't find it, because they would rather stay comfortable.
Yes, indeed. I can understand what you mean by saying that they may have, in effect, need to be sort of knocked out of their comfort zone. But I guess since life has a purpose, we could say that when people are ready, then the awakening will occur. And this is why I guess it, no matter what you put in front of some people, they can't change.
Some too, and it's all choice, isn't it? That's what free will is about. And yeah, I mean, I say that we can have a rude awakening that can be painful and stressful, or we can have an easy awakening where we start to just pay attention to our heart and our inner self. And what I call it in the book is the yearning undefined, that feeling that something's missing, there's got to be something more than this. That is the call of the soul that's calling you forth to let go of the comfort zone. And also, here's something else I really want to share with people. The reason why people don't make life changes and change paths many times is because they don't want to be wrong. I mean, we all have egos. There's not a person on the planet that doesn't have an ego, and no ego likes to be wrong. So we don't want to change. We'll try to fight to the death to stay in a job just because we don't want to be wrong about it. Well, here's what I want to tell people for some peace. You're not leaving a path because there's anything wrong. You're leaving the path because you've outgrown it. And it's natural and delicious to grow. That's what we're here for. And so, you know, if we start to look at things in a different perspective, that can help ease the awakening process. And instead of waiting until, in a job example, let's say you're asked to leave or fired or terminated because you didn't make the change, you know, 2 years ago, we can choose to feel those longings and start to take proactive action ahead of time. Now, of course, I'm talking like people that are awake and aware. However, we have this capability. We're smart enough. We have all the tools within us. Our brain and our heart are our guidance systems, and we can use them to know when we need to let go and move on.
Right. Now, you've mentioned the ego. I believe I'm correct in saying that you've described this as the limited self. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So like I said, the ego tends to get a bad rap, and a lot of spiritual teachers, you know, claim that we should just transcend it or somehow, you know, get rid of it. However, that's not going to happen. We're human. We have an ego because it helps us have boundaries between ourselves and other people. And I found that you actually need a healthy ego to put yourself out in the world, to write that song, to sing or to write a book or to do the things that you want to do, have a radio show. That can be healthy when it's integrated. The limited self is a part of the ego that wants us to stay in status quo. It's comfortable with things as they are because it understands that. And the limited self really is just that part of us that's trying to keep us safe and sort of will be critical when we start moving forward and just put limits on ourselves. Like, oh, well, you could, like for me, it could, my limited self could have been, well, who do you think you are? You're just, you know, you're just a first-generation college student from, you know, Kentucky. Why do you think you can go write a book? You know, your limit is this. We have limits in love. We have limits in success and happiness. And whenever we tend to push past those limits, we get real uncomfortable. And that's the part of us that needs to be healed and brought on board with the soul's plan. Because actually, there's a part of the limited self that can be very useful when it's put to good use. But most of the time, the limited self is making all the decisions and therefore limiting how much happiness and success we will allow ourselves to experience if it's untamed.
Right. So do you think that the ego really is trying to keep us in the manner in which we like to live, which we've already decided, and we don't like this, I guess, to be questioned or to think that we aren't perhaps doing what is necessarily good for us?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, indeed.
Right, then. Just to take this subject of the ego a wee bit further, I notice in your book you call it also the saboteur. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so the saboteur is pretty much the lackey of the ego. It's like it's in charge of, you know, the self-sabotage that many times we subconsciously do to ourselves when we do try to make some changes. With the mentoring and coaching that I do with people, I have a soul, what I call soul alignment process. And part of that process is to help heal the saboteur within the person first, because we really can't get into the business of coaching and making a new plan for life as long as you're sabotaging yourself, obviously. So many people aren't even aware that this is going on. It's all very subconscious. And so it's a part of us that, again, really wants its job that we created. It was created with our mind. It's like a thought pattern of what is okay and what is acceptable to us. And basically, the saboteur will run our lives if we don't bring awareness to it and healing to it. And my goal as a mentor is to help people recognize and love and even befriend the saboteur. So again, it's on board with the soul's plan. And then what we do is we put the soul and the spirit in charge of that person's life so that they start living more heart-centered and inspiration-based decisions, if you will. And then they start creating differently because a more powerful, higher aspect of themselves is now in charge.
Right. So before we reach that stage, presumably we shouldn't feel guilty about having entered into negative experiences, because this is also part of our plan, and the negative experiences are challenges that we can learn from.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. The challenges and the changes that we're all presented with are all stepping stones for us, and it's just, what I like to say is that when a defining moment comes along, you know, you have a couple choices. The first choice is that you can let it define you. You know, many people do that. You know, if they had a failure in business, they might let that moment define them for the rest of their life. The people that learn and are growing in their life and who do reach destiny take those moments and they define them. And they say, you know what, this happened. It wasn't that great, but here's what I learned from it, and here's how I can do this better the next time around. Here's how I'm stronger. Here's how I'm wiser. And they become the hero of their own life, which gives them a lot more power. They become empowered from the challenges. And of course, we know, you and I, and many people listening, that even when you have your purposeful, centered life and you feel like you're on the right track, and my favorite quote about that is a Buddhist teaching. It says, you know, when you're headed in the right direction, all you have to do is keep walking. You know, that's beautiful. When that's happening, we know everything's good. Now, even when that's happening, there's still going to be challenges. There is no such thing as a perfect life. It's the difference happens when the challenges come, how you respond to them. You start to see them for what they are and move past them quicker and quicker, gaining more power as you go.
Right. Now, I know you believe in following your intuition, which I'm tempted to believe is from our higher self. I guess a lot of people certainly would be familiar with the idea of having an ego, but they may not believe they have a higher self. How do you get around that one?
Well, you know, I think it's education. You know, people, a lot of these things were not taught in school. And even religion hasn't done a good job of explaining who we really are. And I think part of the awakening process that's happening is just that exact thing of awakening to we are more than we ever realized. And we have a divine aspect. And that's actually a big part of I talk about in the book, about how to shine your light and how, you know, acknowledging that you are from the divine is a part of the discovery process and maybe one of the greatest discoveries of all. Because then you start to realize that it's not just you and your little limited self down here trying to create life, that you actually have more access to power and light and love than you realize. And I guess it's different for everybody how they come to that understanding. I guess just being willing to ask new questions is a key part of that process, and just be open and living in the question versus deciding that you have it all figured out. That's sort of the old paradigm of dogma, and this is how it is, and this is what you do, and this is what you don't do. The new paradigm is spirituality, and it's about relationship with the divine, not a particular teaching necessarily. And all of that is very individually defined. And so when I work with people, I work with whatever set of beliefs that they have. But typically people who work with me are open to these ideas and most importantly are interested in being happy. And
yes,
that's the bottom line, you know. And so what I help them do is get in touch with their intuition, with their inner self, with their heart. And again, starting to orient themselves around that place. And really, that's what the shift of consciousness is all about. It's moving from living from our heads and intellect into our heart and our knowing.
Right. Now, I know you also take an interest in people's careers because you give advice on how they can get their career on the fast track. Now, does that relate to their enlightenment and their growth? Is this what you're aiming to do, to get them to follow the life plan that's beneficial to them?
That's the ultimate thing. You know, when people come to me for career coaching, they're ultimately going to get purpose work. Because the thing is, you know, there's always a choice. With our purpose, for example, it can be expressed any different way that we want. And one of the most distinctions that I make in the book is when we're on the personality purpose, we may get a lot of accolades or money or external motivation from it. However, the highest level is when we're following our soul's purpose and our destiny. And that's what I want for everybody, because there's a unique gift and a unique way of contribution that each of us has when we're doing our sacred work. And when we're doing our sacred work, we're being who we were born to be, and we're sharing the gifts that are ours to give, and therefore the transformation is happening in a ripple effect. When people are doing work that their heart is not in, you can feel it. It's like they show up in body, but not spirit. And I think it's time for us to transform our relationship with work and, you know, how we feel about it, and to do things that allow us to express who we are. And it's a pretty huge paradigm shift for people. However, once they open to the possibility of actually loving their work and sort of being on purpose with it, it's kind of like being a kid again, because there's a certain amount of joy that comes with it. And they start to do it because there's joy and passion involved. And for me, I can't not write. Like, that's one thing that, you know, when it's your purpose, when you can't do it, you have to do it. You know, I try not to write, but it always just comes through anyway, because it's part of how I express.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think it must be difficult for people to let go of a job that they're in the present climate. They did a survey in Great Britain, and they found that a majority of people were actually unhappy with the job they had. Now, is your destiny success process something that you would introduce to people like that, to show them that they could do something else that I guess they would be happy in and also successful?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We no longer have to settle for less than our heart's desires. You know, there was a similar survey in America, and I think it was like 75% of people surveyed were actively disengaged. Like what I just said earlier, they showed up in body, but their heart and mind are just not in it. And I would say that anybody's in that who feels that way is like what I call experience job dread. You know, on Monday morning when you just dread getting up and going into that little cubicle or that office that you have to go into, you know, that's a clear sign from the universe that you're being called. I mean, anytime that you're unhappy, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be happy and joyful. That's our natural way of being. We fall into world expectations, social programming that tells us that we're supposed to be happy. Like, you know, a lot of people have followed the formula for success who come to me and they have a house and, you know, a job, but they're still not happy. And our work is such an important aspect of who we are, that to allow ourselves the gift of discovering why we're here and how we can help is the absolute shortest path to authentic happiness. Because when that piece is working in your life, you're happier in your relationships, you're more joyful, your health. I mean, let's just not even think about the health issues that happen when you are continually enduring the same stress and the same unhappiness day after day, hour upon hour. So the destiny discovery process is really geared towards people who are in that life and career transition where they know they need to make a change, but they don't know how.
Right. Now, it's one thing to talk about jobs, but people do end up in marriage or partnerships where they're unhappy, but seem to be unable to leave the partnership or marriage. What do you say to people that come to you with that problem?
Well, again, I say that if you're not happy, then you have an opportunity to make a different choice. And I do talk about there's personal purpose and there's professional purpose. And the ultimate is when we are on purpose in both aspects of our lives. And I talk about this a great deal in the book and how to have that, because it is not just possible. It's very realistic for people who choose to go on a deep discovery process within themselves. Now, I will say that with relationships, it's always not as quite as cut and dry because there's another person involved. However, I will say sometimes when you get yourself on purpose and you're clear about what you want, you may leave. That may happen. But you also may stay because you may have a transformation within yourself that allows the relationship itself to transform and change and grow. Because what I found in relationship aspects is that it only takes one person to transform in order for a relationship to get completely turned around. So it really depends on an individual case. As long as there's purpose and being on purpose in a relationship would be that you're being your highest self, you're being your best self, then you're in the right place. So anyways, that's my answer to that one.
Right. Now, I know you've got a little saying here about dream, do, and detach. And you talk about destiny, success as dream, do, and detach. So perhaps you could explain how that works.
Yeah, so the dreaming aspect is, you know, getting into awakening to the new possibility. It's like when you allow yourself to dream, wow, what if my marriage could be transformed and we could, you know, be like kids again? Or what if I could find love that I love with a new partner? Or what if I could love the work that I do? Or what if I became a famous artist? You know, a lot of people are coming into their sacred work. I will mention this real briefly. Most people don't find their true purpose until their 40s, 50s, and beyond. We need a lot of seasoning and a lot of life experience to prepare us for our true purpose. So if you haven't found it yet and you're, you know, not, you know, if you're in your 40s or 50s, there's still time. You know, my best example of someone who found his purpose is a friend of mine here in Austin, Texas, had never painted before. And in his 40s, he picked up a paintbrush and started painting. And now he's very famous. He's painted the likeness of famous people in America. He's got an amazing career, but he had never studied art at all. And so this is sort of how it happens, but you have to be open to dreaming. And that's very, very important. A lot of people have just shut themselves down and they've put their dreams on a shelf and they just say, well, you know, I just got to settle for this life that I can't, you know, hardly stand, which to me, it doesn't make any sense because there's so many possibilities now in our modern world. So the dreaming is very, very important. You have to give yourself permission to dream again. And then, of course, dreaming is not going to get you any changes. You have to get into the doing. And the doing is not just doing, but it's doing from inspiration. It's like allowing guidance and inspiration to show you what to do. And when you're really doing your purpose, I don't know if you found this, but I have, you allow yourself to get out of the way and you allow the work to kind of show you what wants to happen. And so it's a different kind of doing when we're doing it.
Yeah.
And then what's very important is, you know, detaching and letting it go because it sort of has a life of its own now. It's something bigger than just you. It's not just about you and your limited self anymore. It's about something bigger. And when we get attached, the energy is not as clear. So detachment allows us to let our creations go out into the world, knowing that we're still okay, whatever happens one way or the other. And it's just a really powerful place to be, and a lot more fun too.
Right. Now, I guess some people that have some religious feeling, perhaps even if only they believe in God, nevertheless feel lost in this physical world and separated from the divine.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get someone to understand how they can put that right?
Well, I have a saying that I say that most people are looking for themselves where they're not. So the first thing is to stop looking outside of yourself for the happiness that you seek or the love that you're searching for. It's not in a bank account. It's not in a lover's arms. It's not moving to a different country. Actually, everything that you're looking for is right within your own heart. And that's what the destiny discovery is all about, is helping people in the process of awakening to this illuminating idea that which they seek is already within them, that they are what they want. It's within their heart. And that when we align with that and know that, and that is our truth, we feel happier, we feel more content, we conserve a lot of energy. I cannot believe the amount of energy that people waste changing jobs and jumping from bed to bed and, you know, making mistake after mistake because they're just clueless about who they are. I mean, that's American talk for, you know, don't be clueless, because the truth really will set you free. And that's part of what the Destiny Discovery is about, is helping people to uncover that for themselves. And you can't teach it to them. They have to go on their own journey to find it and to discover it. The book just gives them a shortcut and asks the right questions so that they can get there much quicker.
Right. Now, you have what you call a soul's alignment course. Mm-hmm. Is that to help people discover their soul's purpose in life?
It's part of, it's a purpose work, but it's also just aligning with their higher self and soul versus letting their ego and limited self live their lives. So it's a combination of helping them find their purpose, and part of that is listening to their soul and putting their heart in charge more than their mind and their intellect and their rationalization. So it's like I help them align with what we're just saying, with what's already within them that they may not be seeing because they're looking everywhere else. So I help them to go within and discover what is right within them. And, you know, many times our greatest treasure is right beneath our own feet, but we're too busy looking elsewhere. So that part of aligning with their soul is looking within, living from their heart. You know, there's a lot in the book about living from your heart and learning to make decisions from inspiration versus intellect.
Right. What is your view of predestiny as opposed to free will?
That's the ultimate question. Yeah, it's fun to see. I love to just see what people think about that. I would love if there was a chat room to take a poll, you know. What I have come to see is that it's very much like a dance. And it's a dance between our personality and our soul. And obviously our soul has a bigger perspective and has a lot more knowledge and access to knowledge. And when we learn to take the lead from our soul or our higher self, we tend to dance much more gracefully through life. Other people tend to stumble along, you know, in making poor decisions and not being conscious. So for me, it's not really one or the other. It's both. There's a plan that we come in with. However, it's very much our choice whether to execute that plan and how it's executed, how it actually turns out, you know, is all part of our will and our choice, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the ultimate power that we all have. I mean, the thing I like to say about choice is that even angels didn't get that power, but human beings have that power. That's right. How powerful we really are.
Fine. Now, in one part of your book, you talk about dealing with critical voices. I suppose these are people that can pull you down if you don't know how to handle it. And you talk of the bully, the boss, and the confused. What was your thinking when you mentioned that?
That's also part of the chapter where I talk about the saboteur. They all kind of work together. Mm. And actually, even though you may have bullies, for example, in your life, many times those critical voices are the ones in your own head.
Yes.
And so we really want to help people become aware of which voice they're listening to, because the soul has a voice too, and it's guiding you and it's talking to you, but it speaks very softly. It's that still small voice within you that comes from your heart. But most people are listening to their bully or their confused voice, and therefore their lives are not working in the way that they could. So part of like getting past that saboteur, which, you know, those critical voices are designed to keep us kind of chasing our tails versus really getting where we're meant to go. And the soul, I always say, knows who we are, it knows why we're here and how it can help. However, you know, part of the Destiny Discovery book is helping people get into close relationship with their own heart and soul. That's what it's about. Because when you have that relationship and it's a close, trusting, powerful relationship, you really have all the answers that you need.
Right. I think some people find it hard to get going because they have some thing in their past which they feel guilty about or carry some sort of fears with them. Is it difficult to convince someone that they really are worthy?
Sometimes it can be. I mean, all of us have a lot of baggage. I have found for myself that coaching and mentoring is very helpful. And there's also like healing tools to release some of those things. And ultimately, forgiveness is the most powerful process of all. And self-forgiveness, you know, is very powerful. And having compassion for ourselves and knowing that whatever we did in the past, we did the best that we knew how, you know, and just letting it be that simple. I just did the best that I could at that particular time, and now I know better, and so I will choose differently. That is a part of the healing journey too, is to let go of the past and not let your history be your future. Most people, what's that phrase? Some people live one day 99 times, other people live one. It's basically live like the same day 99 times, like. Just keep living the same thing that happened, you know, back when you were seven. It just keeps recreating itself over and over and over again because you won't let it go and you won't heal it. And, you know, and I would just say that whatever has happened has been a part of your curriculum for your own enlightenment. And there's nothing wrong. Everything is as it was supposed to be. And there is no one to blame. And so the sooner that people can release and let go and forgive, you know, the happier and more joyful that they will be.
Right. Yes, I think some people get very angry about their life in the sense that they feel that they are a victim. So how do you get them to accept their assignment?
Accepting responsibility for that it's not other people and they can stop pointing the fingers. Yeah, that's another biggie. You know, it comes down to awareness. And I think the best way to help people that are stuck in their story, because, you know, the stories that we tell are the stories that we live. You know, we can tell positive stories and have positive experiences, or we can keep telling the wounded victim story over and over and over again. So awareness is a big piece of it, helping people see the connection between their psychology, what they're thinking, and what they're experiencing. It's like a huge breakthrough for people when they finally see that it's their own thoughts and their own creations, their own thoughts and feelings and actions that are generating the results in their life. You know, that's what transformation is all about. And, you know, I would say that it's almost impossible to have that breakthrough on your own. You really need a mentor, somebody to help you see things in a different way and to ask new questions in order to really get on the other side of victimhood. Because it's such a seductive place that you just want to play in it again and again and again because misery loves company. However, it's time for all of us to grow up spiritually and start to get past and get over our stories and start creating consciously.
Right. Now, I'm sure that people like yourself are doing a wonderful job at a time when you're very much needed, particularly as the year that we're about to enter, 2012, is, according to many, including myself, destined to be quite exciting and one in which some great changes will take place. What is your take on that?
Well, you know, I believe 2012 is not just a new year, but it's an opportunity for us to step through a gateway that can lead us into a new creation of the world. That's a big claim. I understand that. But there is a reason why a lot of ancient people predicted this time. And not only that, you don't have to look around very far to see that 2012 experiences have already started happening. Things are already crumbling, you know, to make way for the new. So I think it's exciting. I look forward. I think this is going to be an amazing year. It's going to be an amazing year for people that have done a lot of their inner transformation work. I think for people that are just coming into it, it might be scary because a lot of stuff that they depended on may not be there. And I just want to say to those people that let what you fear happen, because there's nothing to fear but fear itself, literally. You're going to be fine. Whatever's falling away is just making way for something better that's more in alignment with who you came to be. So I think it's going to be an amazing time. The reason why the book felt like this was the perfect time for it to come out was exactly that. The book actually started getting written 10 years ago. It was a workbook initially for my clients, and it has evolved over the course of that time. I really felt like destiny had a hand in everything and how everything unfolded this year to make sure that the book got finished. It was quite remarkable.
I'm sure so, yes. I find myself very much in harmony with your book and the level that you're approaching. That is from the physical existence to try and lift it up, I believe, into one which is more spiritual. Now, we've got a fair little bit of time left here, but I'd like to give you an opportunity to give your website address. You can tell us where your book is available from, about your Destiny Tele Summit. And incidentally, I believe I'm correct in saying your book is actually going to be released on the 17th of January.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, I would love to invite people actually to go to liveyourdivinedestiny.com. And click on the link for the free telesummit, because that's going to be happening January 10th through the 12th. That's a three-day live event on the phone from wherever you are in the world. We have a panel of 12 experts who are all going to be talking about three aspects of destiny. The first is awakening to your path on the first day. The second day, we're going to be looking at how do you find your true path. And then third day, we'll be talking about how to succeed on that path of destiny. And that's a free telesummit that everybody can be a part of. And then on the 17th is when the book will be released in trade paperback and also on Kindle. And for any Kindle users out there, I just found the Touch allows you to listen. It has a voice activated. It'll actually read the book to you. I was real excited about that because not everybody's a reader. My husband's not. And so he was actually listening to my book. I was like, hey, baby, you're finally reading my book. But anyways, that's a whole other story. The main thing is that it's really exciting because on the 17th, we have 35 different partners that are supporting the book who are all going to be giving gifts. So when you buy the book, you're going to get a boatload of bonuses that are very valuable and very useful, including the download of the MP3s for the telesummit calls, so you can listen to those, you know, as often as you like.
That's very good. People do love an opportunity to talk on a one-to-one basis, don't they, about their problems and things like that. So that sounds excellent. Have you got a particular message for people for the immediate future?
My message is that it's time for us to shine our light, and the world really does need our light, and that not to let fear cloud the vision that you have for what's possible, but instead to choose faith and to just take a next step, whether that's getting my book or getting support, talking to a friend, just whatever small step that you can take that will move you forward in a new direction. Just take that step, because that first step in the right direction will get you headed in the right direction, which is very, very, very critical for us at this time.
Right. Now, I know you also mentioned about people reaching the high state of consciousness. People might wonder, how do they know when they've reached a higher state?
Have to ask, you're not there yet. No. It's, you know, it's the ultimate consciousness for us to be vessels and to be letting divine consciousness show up as us, like as we are living, breathing embodiments of love and light. You know, there's not many people on the planet that have reached that stage. However, it is humanity's destiny. It is our opportunity to be there. There are four stages that I talk about in the book that will really enlighten people to what's happening at each of those stages. You can very much identify yourself with, you know, how you're thinking, what you're doing at each of the different levels of that, those consciousness stages. And those are sort of play into how you live your life and how on purpose you are as well. Your consciousness is a correlating factor into how much purpose or how on purpose you are. So there is a big payoff to do the work that it takes to raise your consciousness. The main payoff is just having a life that works and having a life that you love and having a life that feels meaningful to you and that makes you happy. That's the ultimate payoff for doing this work. And I really believe, and I will stand behind it 110%, that my book will give people many of the tools that they need to have that experience. And I really feel that my book is an awakening guide for people that, you know, if they just read that book, that they will get a lot of those questions, you know, answered for themselves. That's how I intended it when I wrote it.
Yes, I'm sure it will achieve that goal for you. What would you say to people, finally, who start to awaken to their higher self and then feel that they want to be of service to other people but can't quite find an outlet? Do you have any advice for them?
I would say yes. There is a place for them. Every one of us has an important part to play in this transformation that we're experiencing on the planet, and that, you know, the shortest way to get past that confusion or that uncertainty is to work with a mentor. It's someone who can see your brilliance and help illuminate that for you, and also somebody who can see your blind spots and help to illuminate that for you, because with that information, you can see the whole picture then, and then you will discover your rightful role, your purpose, through that process. And I think people get stuck because they think, well, I should be able to figure this out on my own, you know, and they spend decades maybe searching, but never finding. And I think it's time for people to stop the search and start finding. And it's my belief that's why there's people like you and I and others that have already gone through their process who have the map and who can be a guide for them and help make their way a lot easier. Yeah.
I'm going to have to stop you there, and thank you very, very much for coming onto the program. I've enjoyed speaking with you. That was Michelle Casto, and I'll quickly repeat her website in case you didn't get to write it down. It's liveyourdivinedestiny.com. Now, my guest next week is Duncan Lunan. He's going to talk about two very strange children that came out of an ancient earthwork at the village of Woolpit in East Anglia in the late 12th century. The incident is recorded. The children wore clothing of a different colour and material never seen before. They spoke a language nobody recognised and were coloured green. I can vouch for that. So that should be quite an interesting subject. So thank you for being with me today.
Thank you. I enjoy it.
Happy New Year to my guest and everybody listening in, and I'm sure it's going to completely fulfil our expectations. So thank you, everyone. God bless you.